Welcome to All Analytics Conversations. This is Jim Connolly. I'm editor of allanalytics.com. Today we're discussing cybersecurity, which is something that matters to all of us, whether it's in connection with national security, protecting corporate data in our companies, or keeping our own private data, well, private. You can expect to hear a lot about security over the next 2 weeks. One of the biggest security events of the year, the RSA conference, will take place in San Francisco starting on February 29th. One of the key topics that will service at RSA involves the use of analytics to support cybersecurity efforts. That's something today's guest is deeply involved with. Liz Goldberg is Principal Product Marketing Manager for Cybersecurity at SAS, which is our site sponsor. Liz joins us today to discuss some of the security trends and issues that she sees in dealing with enterprise managers, how analytics are playing new roles in cybersecurity, and what she expects to learn and discuss with others at RSA. Liz, welcome to A2 Conversations. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you, Jim, for having me.
Okay. Hey, before we get into the discussion, let me add a note for the listeners. We welcome your questions and comments on the chat board below, and we'll address as many as we can on the air. And then Liz will stay with us for a little while on the text chat board when the audio segment ends. To get the discussion started, I invite listeners to introduce themselves to their peers on the chat board and perhaps share your own observation on how analytics are changing security and what matters to you in terms of security. Liz, you know, thinking about what you hear from enterprise managers, what are the biggest challenges that you see them encountering when it comes to security?
You know, I think one of the biggest challenges that they have when it relates to security is that they don't have the network visibility they need to detect the attackers that are in their networks. It's one thing to keep the bad guys from getting in, but we all do know that there will be some that get in. And, you know, how do you find them quickly and then kick them out, as it were, and return to normal as soon as possible?
Yeah, I mean, we hear about, you know, how broad some of these attacks are, how pervasive they are. It's amazing that the firewalls and the virus scanners capture as much as they do. But obviously, you know, some do get through.
That is true. That is true. And if you look at some of the more notable attacks over the last couple of years, these attackers were able to persist in the organization's network for days, weeks, or even months. And really, the organizations weren't able to see those subtle signs that the attackers were in there until, obviously, it was much too late.
Do you see anything out there that provides reason for security pros to see a light at the end of the tunnel?
I think there is, and I think that, you know, one of the areas that does hold promise is this area of security analytics, that it's able to not only give the security pros visibility into their networks, what's going on right now, but it's able to help them understand what normal behavior and what abnormal behavior looks like on their networks. You know, only until the last several years has the computing capacity and the power of technology been able to leverage all of the network communications that go on in your typical typical organization, particularly your typical large organization. I mean, we could be talking about, you know, billions and billions of events a day. And now we have the capability to harness all of that data to give the security pros that visibility that they so desperately need.
What triggers that visibility? What types of things are they analyzing?
Well, It really comes down to any number of things. It's looking at how those machines communicate. And is a particular machine, is it normal, for example, for a particular machine, let's say in sales, to be communicating with a particular machine in HR? That might have certain employee data on there, or what time are these particular machines communicating? Is it normal for these communications to be happening at that time? You know, who are they talking to? Just really opening the eyes of security folks into, you know, how that is supposed to be, and, you know, based on the relationship of that asset to the organization where it sits, for example, you know, functional area, or compared to other assets that might be its peers.
What have you heard in terms of how quickly, you know, an organization can spot this type of intrusion, you know, once somebody gets through the firewall?
Well, you know, again, if you look at some of the some of the recent studies, it really depends on which study you read. I mean, anything from a day to, you know, to weeks or to months. But the goal is that no matter how long it is, it's still not soon enough. It really needs to be, you know, as close to real time as possible, because only then can the organization formulate their response and take action quick enough to prevent the attacker from getting even more knowledge of the organization's network and then leveraging that knowledge for future attacks on the organization.
Now, you mentioned the developments on the, you know, on the computing side, on the hardware side, and the progress that's been made there. Does a lot of this happen as in terms of, you know, in-memory computing?
Yes, I mean, a lot of it does happen in in-memory computing. It also, I think a lot of the streaming technologies, you know, also contribute to it as well. You know, just the ability to process that data at the volume and velocity that it comes in, as well as, you know, do the analytics on it, that, you know, those types of technologies, you know, certainly help.
Now, I know that some of the people who listen to this broadcast are going to think back to their many experiences in terms of security as an administrator, and they're going to think, I've looked at so many log files over the years, and I can't make heads or tails out of them. Is essentially the computer doing this for them?
You know, it's not really looking at log files. I mean, log files, don't get me wrong, they're very important to look at this, but really it's not looking at the log files that occur, you know, that occur at some point after the event has occurred. It's looking at it in a more timely manner, and also looking at this data combined with other data and the communications that are happening between devices right now as they're occurring, to give you that awareness and surface, you know, what those abnormal behaviors might be.
Does this require a change in the way the data is acted upon, or in terms of the organization? Do we need new skill levels in the security team, or is this something that you bring over from the analytics team, or even just in terms of workflow? You know, again, a lot of these folks have been, like, sitting there studying log files. How does the process change so that you can actually get the alerts in time and take action?
Oh, gosh, that's a really, really good question. You know, some of it obviously is dependent on the technology, that, you know, the technology is there that we can get this information as security pros to the teams in a timely manner. You know, the big question really is what you alluded to earlier, is, you know, who ends up working with this? Is it the security team? Is it the data scientist? Is it a combination? Obviously the optimal solution is that if it's something that the security team can work on, basically, you know, there is, and I'm sure you've read it about it, there's a critical shortage of security talent and security skills today. So it's very hard to find these people that have the security ops background and talents, let alone that have the data scientist background as well. And that's where technology can play a role in surfacing these behaviors, these abnormal behaviors, in a way that a security analyst could understand them, so that a data scientist wouldn't also have to be involved. Now, that said, there are a lot of security teams, especially in larger organizations, that do employ data scientists as well, because the tools are still there, that if somebody really wants to get real deep into it, they can. But from an incident response standpoint, I mean, I want to know what I need to know so I can act on it and take care of it.
Now, besides using the behavioral analytics in this type of situation, what else is security teams doing with analytics?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I mean, there's some other things that security teams are doing, or at least can do, with analytics. Security analytics can really help the IT teams understand, you know, what is really happening on the network versus, you know, what we think should be happening. For example, is there a system that might be operating out of policy? It's not necessarily generating a security alert, but it's not operating within the IT policies that we've set. You know, are there things that we might be able to virtualize? That sort of thing. And, you know, obviously, cybersecurity is much more of a boardroom issue. I know that corporate executives and corporate boards of directors are, you know, consuming the information that at a high level that's provided by security analytics solutions to help them make better decisions about investments and corporate risks, and just really getting a better handle on their security postures, because ultimately they too are also responsible for what happens with the security of their organizations and their customers' data.
I recall a little bit of talk last year about using security behavioral analytics. I guess I'll use that term in this regard to identify weaknesses on the human side. In other words, using analytics to identify weak passwords, looking at who has what privileges to what applications and which what types of data, and looking for who should not have such access, for instance. Do you know if there's any progress being made in that regard?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I can imagine that would also be a good use case for analytics as well. I mean, there's any number of things too. For example, in a case of a phishing attack, which is almost it's a very common vector for hackers to use to gain that entry into the network. I mean, looking at, you know, is this the first time that that this person has received an email from this recipient? So I can imagine that that there probably still is work on that side being done, as you said.
Yeah, because let's face it, that the weakest link in any security system is the one with a heartbeat.
Exactly. You
know, we're all guilty. In fact, I haven't seen a phishing attack in the past 2 hours. there is some orphan, very wealthy orphan in Africa who wants me to give him my bank account so he can he could share his wealth with me, and I'm just honored by that. Got that email this morning, in fact. In terms of how analytics will take shape in the long run, how far along the continuum do you think we are in terms of what they can do for a security team?
Oh, goodness. We're certainly not at the start, but we're certainly not at the end either. I still think we're in the early stages of that continuum. I think we're really going to be seeing over the next couple of years how it plays out. As you might be familiar, it seems like you can't look at a security company's website these days without seeing something about analytics or behavioral analytics. But I think it's still very early in the game. I think it's very hard for buyers in these organizations, at least the ones that I've talked to understand, well, what is the difference between when somebody talks about analytics versus when somebody over here talks about analytics. I still think there's any number of kind of flavors and variations therein, and I think over the next couple of years, the market will begin to define what security analytics looks like and what those components are.
Who's the target customer right now for the type of analytics that you folks are offering for security? Do you go to the analytics team? Do you go to the security team, or do you go higher up?
Well, it's primarily the security organizations and the security operations folks that are interested in it. Obviously, because of the strategic nature of security analytics and the value that it can provide to the corporate executives all the way down to the actual folks that respond to the daily security incidents, we like to talk with those C-level folks as we can, but we also find that we end up speaking with pretty much everybody in that organizational stack, as it were, throughout the course of the process, because it does have such a broad impact.
So it's kind of a cross-departmental buy.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really up and down in that security organization. There may also be some other folks from other organizations that are interested as well. For example, risk and fraud folks, or some folks from finance as well. Some of it also depends on where the security function reports into, whether it reports into a chief operating officer or a CIO or a CFO.
Now, if we consider the more traditional security software, providers like Kaspersky or Symantec, what do you folks end up dealing with them in terms of coordinating your offerings with, for instance, their reporting systems and things like that, or is it pretty much you're all on your own islands?
Well, we don't necessarily coordinate with the actual vendors, but we can take data from other security products and leverage that data and enhance the intelligence of it as we are surfacing this normal and abnormal behavior. So those solutions are definitely ones that organizations should have. I'm not here to say that security analytics is the silver bullet, as it were, but though that data can be leveraged as part of a security analytics solution.
Mm-hmm. Now, our audience is going to be mixed in this case. We'll have people who are coming from the security side of the house, and some people coming from the analytics side. Does the use of security analytics open up a new career path for someone who is on the analytics team currently and maybe wants to try something new? Do you see people making that crossover?
I hadn't, to be honest, I hadn't really thought about it much, but I really do think that there is an opportunity there. I mean, as somebody who has an analytics background, I would imagine that person has a natural curiosity and affinity for data, which could be very, very helpful in a security or security operations career. And that could be very transferable to that. And as I said earlier, I mean, there is certainly a need for security talent, and I'm always trying to encourage folks to get into that area. In fact, I wish I could encourage my 16-year-old niece to do the same.
It's a little early for that. The it's interesting because we already know that there's a shortage of analytics talent, and we know that there is a shortage of security talent. So it would seem to be that that's the perfect positioning for somebody right now, to combine those two fields. Now, RSA is coming up, and I know you folks are going to be doing some work there. I know from going to this type of event that it's a learning experience, but it's also an opportunity to show off your wares. What do you hope to learn at RSA, and what do you hope to come home with?
So, one of the things I always enjoy about RSA or any conference for that matter is the ability to talk with people. These types of things offer me as a product marketer the ability to talk with people who may be using our product or people who may not be using our product, but really understand what's going on in their world. What are some of the trends that they're seeing, being, in the day-to-day trenches, as it were? What are some of the pains and the things that keep them up at night? So to really get a better background of what's going on in the market today. I think the other thing, obviously, that I hope to learn is what everybody else is doing in the space. So what's the latest, what's the latest solution from any particular provider? I'm in the security industry, but we all get busy and very focused on our areas of our industries. So it gives me the opportunity to see what's going on in some of the other areas of security that I'm not necessarily involved in from the day to day.
And as far as what SAS will actually be exhibiting or demonstrating, could you give me a quick overview on what's going on there?
Sure. Well, we are actually going to be back for our second year at RSA this year, and we are pleased to be one of the bronze sponsors. So in our booth, you'll be able to come and obviously talk to folks like me and also some of the other folks from our team and talk to us more about what we're doing and the cybersecurity analytics solution that we announced last year. One of the things that we'll also be doing is Brian Harris, who's the Director of Cyber Analytics Research and Development here at SAS, will be doing a presentation on Wednesday, March 2nd at 1 p.m. at the show about how security analytics can help organizations gain the information advantage over cyber adversaries. Basically going behind the music or behind the buzz and talking about how analytics can help address the blind spots in organizational networks. So it's really going to be a great opportunity for folks that either know SAS but don't know much about our security solutions to come out and talk to us about that, or for the folks who don't know SAS to get introduced to us.
Okay. Let me ask you, you're a citizen, you're a business person, who obviously you have, you have customer data there, and you're a consumer with your own personal data. What would you love to see happen at RSA or at Black Hat or some other show, and just come up with a cure for either to stop attacks or to punish the offenders, or just lock down everybody's data and do it safely? Is there a silver bullet out there?
Oh, goodness. So that's the, I'd say that's the million-dollar question, but that doesn't even begin to explain it. Boy, if I had that answer, I could probably be a very, very wealthy woman and retire early. But, yeah, unfortunately, there's no real silver bullet. As long as there's, as long as there's stuff to steal, there will always be people who want to steal it, or who will always want to do bad things. My boyfriend always reminds me about this, the Batman movie quote about, some people just like to watch the world burn. And unfortunately, there will be those bad people that are out there. I think technologies will continue to improve, and there will be more technologies. But the thing is, how do we stay that one step ahead? And that really is the million-dollar question. And that's why I think having that defense in depth, the approach that everybody talks about, having many, many different choke points that, try and, prevent the attacker from getting in. And if they get in, detect them as quickly as possible and get them out. That's why that's really the way to go, until somebody does come up with that multi-billion-dollar idea on how to secure everything or punish all the bad guys or whatnot.
This has been a great conversation. I will note one thing, that there has been there's some kind of issue either on the internet or on our site or with our provider. The tech folks are looking into it. So so the streaming hasn't worked as it normally would. Normally, I know you would join me in the on the text chat after this. So we'll probably pass on that for now, and we'll just keep an eye open for questions that come in once the tech issues are resolved. I'll certainly let you know when that is. We will be, this will be available through all the analytics and also on Blog Talk Radio. Do you have any final thoughts on security and what people need to watch for this year?
Oh, gosh. What people need to watch for this year. I think, like I said, from a security analytics perspective, I think this year we will start to see a little bit more of a shaking out of, what that really means to the industry. And we'll see an even further maturing of that. And I think we will see more organizations adopting it. I think, potentially we'll start seeing a lot of, we'll start seeing some more consolidation in the industry among, any number of companies. We've already started to see it over the last couple of months again. And I know there's a number of companies out there, startups, that are getting a lot of VC money. So I think there will be a lot of change in the industry over the last couple of months. But, I could probably go back 10 years to when I first got into the industry and probably could have said the same thing. So that's what keeps it interesting.
It's true about, the whole computer industry. Every time some company gets out of a market, there are three more that get their VC money and jump right into it. So, all right, as we wrap up here, I want to thank our guests today, Liz Goldberg of SAS, for being with us. And I thanks to those of you who are listening on the web. This has been Jim Connolly for All Analytics Radio and UBM Tech. Thanks to everyone for tuning in, and please have a wonderful day, everyone. And Liz, thank you again. Have a great day.
Thank you. Take care.